George, fantastic to hear. So you're here in the ambience of God's Acre.
Being here in Singleton, I was saying to the crowd earlier, it springs back how you started the game. I grew up in Canberra, and Canberra, it's a big country town, Canberra, and so you appreciate how important a really good club and that community spirit is, and you certainly feel that and you experience that when you come here to Singleton.
Well, your roots also are deep in Tamworth as well. Your old man went to school up at McCarthy College.
You've done your homework, that's right. He tells me that. I remember going along the New England Highway, went to a few training camps, actually rugby camps at in Armidale, and John Hipwell used to run those camps, Milo camps. So yeah, I know the area very, very well. It's sort of close to my heart, and being here today, been great fun sharing with a really good crowd who love their rugby and really get behind their team, who've had a very good year.
You have a Zambian mother as well, and it's fantastic to see early this year you went over with John Searle to Zambia as well. Tell us a little bit about that experience and teaching the kids the game of rugby.
Yeah, we went to, it's a good one because it was with John Searle, who's been with the RAU for nearly 20 years, and he's a great guy in terms of development and teaching the skills of the game of rugby. So you go over there, and in Zambia, soccer is the number one sport. They love the game, but they're really athletic, and I'm probably being a bit biased, but they are, and they're beautiful people. They don't get the opportunity to learn the game of rugby because it's just not in, I guess, in the sporting culture. So we went over there, introduced them to the game of rugby through Tag Rugby Trust, play the tag rugby, and the whole concept of throwing the ball backwards to run forward, different, quite challenging. But as long as you make it competitive and you make it fun, they're really quick learners. It was such a wonderful experience, and the community, it's really community-based, and you realise that we come from a really special country. We've got a lot, and they don't have a lot, but they had the biggest smiles on their faces. Everyone was smiling and laughing, and it was a really rewarding week, and looking forward to doing that. We're actually taking that to another level. We're actually trying to build a rugby club in Livingston, because that's where we based it. But Livingston will have their rugby club where the juniors and maybe even the seniors, particularly the juniors from all the different schools, can learn the game, play competition, have a meal, turn up to the clubhouse, and do all the things that I think a local sporting club can do. So it's been it was a wonderful week, and looking forward to continuing.
Speaking of Zambia, hopefully I'll find their way to a World Cup, but you went to a couple. Tell us of the thrill of actually winning a Rugby World Cup. You held up the trophy at Cardiff, and also the downside, I suppose, was the clash you had after the 2003 final, where you thanked everybody, even though we were beaten by the Poms, and it would have been absolutely devastating after all that hard work to try and defend the title.
Yeah, winning a Rugby World Cup is fantastic. It's the culmination of a lot of hard work. To win a World Cup, you need a little bit of luck. Until you experience a World Cup, you don't realise how much. It's a different competition, a different pressure, particularly from quarterfinals onwards. And a quarterfinal is really difficult. Obviously, lost to England twice in quarterfinals, unfortunately, 95 World Cup in 2007, and it's all over. That's it. There's no way through. And then obviously lost the final in 2003, pushed them to extra time. So had the euphoria of winning it, and had obviously the great disappointment of being knocked out early and also losing extra time in a final. But you couldn't. I remember you saying, like, you thanked everyone. I couldn't have thanked my teammates and the coaching group more, because everyone gave everything of themselves and more, and you know within a team, if everyone does that, that's all we can ask. If you're not good enough to get the result, which we weren't on that final, then so be it. But you could not say to one person within that group they didn't give everything and beyond. That's all we can ask for, and World Cups are just a great sporting event. I'm enjoying watching them from afar now, but you feel very privileged to have been part of them on the field.
Of course, your book there has half-back, half-forward, gives you a fantastic insight to the sacrifice you need to make to be a professional athlete in the first two chapters. It's unbelievable. Like, you weren't the best player ever. You had a bloke called Rod Hayes in front of you that played 20 months for Australia and then went to the Raiders, and you just had to work your O-ring out to get that opportunity. You represented Australia against Italy, and then of course the tackle against Jeff Wilson. How did you react to that, and is it something every single punter drags you up now where you are around the world about that tackle on Jeff Wilson in the 1994 Bledisloe Cup?
It's true. It's one of those sporting moments. I was fortunate to be on the good side of it. Played many test matches against the All Blacks. I wasn't on the good side of those sporting moments, but it all happened pretty quickly. I was 21 at that stage, behind a guy like Rodney Hayes in 93 and 94. You have a breakthrough year off the back of a really good sevens campaign. I mean, you get an opportunity. Something like that, a sporting moment like that, occurs early in your life. People remember it. They still talk about it now. Jeff and I, 20 years on from there, we still get asked about it. He says the same thing. He knows when a Bledisloe Cup's going on, because they rerun that, and similar here. Well, one thing I'll say is you get that side of sport, but within a year's time, mate, I was on the bench behind a great player from the local area here, Stevie Merrick, and sport is that. So it teaches you how to deal with success, how to deal with failure, but always look to improve. And just, mate, I think one of the things, which doesn't matter what level you play at, as soon as you lose sight of that it's a game and you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy turning up to train and to try and get better and play and compete, win, lose or draw, your attitude should always be that way.